Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Will you turn to hymn numbered 325? Our Heavenly Father, we gather this morning to worship. We've come here for various reasons. We pray, our Father, that all of those reasons will fall aside and that we will worship merely because you are God and we're your children. After we have come to that attitude, our Father, we do pray that you will give us strength for the day. Give us encouragement and vision. We pray, our Father, that you will help those of our loved ones who are ill, who grieve, and who live life under other burdens that we may not even understand. We pray that your Spirit will sustain them. We pray for this school and all who come here. We pray, our Father, that we may do your work and learn to do your work better. We pray that as we're here, we may grow under the challenge of study and work, grow in the fellowship that is created by Christian men and women who do study and work together, that we may grow under the influence of your Spirit, whose presence we deeply implore. As we worship this morning, we pray for him who guides us, that as he speaks, we may truly hear your word. In the name of Christ, amen. Be seated. It's a special pleasure for me to present the speaker this morning, Dr. Delos Miles, our professor of evangelism, has returned home. He is a graduate of Southeastern. He spent a considerable part of his earlier ministry in North Carolina, Virginia, and South Carolina. Several years ago, he went to Kansas City at the invitation of Midwestern to be the first professor of evangelism. He established the curriculum in that seminary and became highly respected in the Midwest for his work in state and Southern Baptist conferences and work in the area of evangelism. He combined an unusually wholesome number of factors into a program of teaching and ministry which the people of that region recognized and appreciated. We're fortunate to have him here at Southeastern, and it's with personal pleasure that I present him to you this morning to bring our sermon, Dr. Miles.
Thank you, Dean Ashcraft. It is good to be back home, and I appreciate your gracious welcome back to this part of the country. Our scripture lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verse 24, and also from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verse 10. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Back in the 1960s, I went with a pastor to visit a family which had been attending his church occasionally. We drove up to their modest brick home in a well-kept suburb. The husband was not at home. The three children were outside in the yard playing. They were clean, well-clothed, perfectly mannered. The wife graciously welcomed us. It was evident to us that she was a cultured and charming person. She told us that they were Baptist with membership, church membership in another city. They had been living there about 9 years, but they had not settled down enough to move their church membership. In fact, they were getting ready to buy a place in the country so the children could have more room. And then she said they would settle down and join a church and become active in that congregation. After she had told us these things, she said something which I think I shall never forget. "I'm ready for some real living now," said she. It would not have been courteous for me to ask her, "What have you been doing all these years?" The truth is probably that she had been preparing to live. She had been living life on a temporary or interim basis most of her days. How many persons do you know who go through life preparing to live, but who never really live? They just exist. It's so easy to postpone real living until one gets through seminary or gets a good position, or gets married, or gets a new home, or saves up some money in the bank, or gets a promotion, or gets the children through school, or retires, or until one actually dies. Taylor Caldwell, in one of her novels, tells of a certain man who died at 15, but was not buried until he was 75. Do you know anybody who fits that description? As Christians, Jesus Christ has liberated us to live life in the now time. We're no longer in bondage to the past, the present, or the future. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. One of my favorite sections of the daily newspaper is the Dear Abby column. Earlier this year, a letter to Abby made a simple but strong point about living life in the now time. "Dear Abby, I am a 36-year-old college dropout whose lifelong ambition was to be a physician. I have a good job selling pharmaceutical supplies, but my heart is in the practice of medicine. I do volunteer work at the local hospital on my time off, and people tell me I would have made a wonderful doctor. If I go back to college and get my degree, then go to medical school, do my internship, and finally get into the actual practice of medicine, it will take 7 years. But Abby, in 7 years, I will be 43 years old. What do you think? Signed, Unfulfilled in Philadelphia. Answer: Dear Unfulfilled, how old will you be in 7 years if you don't do it?" I was told at the age of 29 by one of my former college professors that it was too late for me to earn a doctor's degree in theology. But at the age of 39, I did finally earn that degree. My colleagues and friends at the Baptist building in Columbia, South Carolina, threw a big party for me. They presented me with a beautifully wrapped present. You know what was underneath all of those ribbons and wrappings? The statue of a dunce with an inscription which read, "The world's greatest student."
It takes some of us a bit longer than it does others. Albert Schweitzer was 38 when he completed his medical studies. Already he had excelled as a musician and as a theologian. But he started a third career as a medical missionary at the age of 38. No matter what you and I do with our lives and with the stewardship of our minds, if we live 7 more years, we shall still be the same age we would have been otherwise. Time waits on no one, and certain death and judgment awaits us all. The journey of 1,000 miles does begin with one step, as a Chinese proverb reminds us. Inch by inch, almost everything is a cinch. If you believe God wants you to do something great for Him and for others, you'll have to begin right now, wherever you are. Those who are unfaithful stewards over the talents which God has given to them cannot expect to be set over the stewardship of even greater treasures. The psalmist said, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." It is this day, not tomorrow, which is God's gift to us. Now, if tomorrow comes, of course, that too will be God's creation. But today, with all of its problems and potentialities, is God's gift to us. "It isn't the burdens of today that drive men mad," wrote Robert Hastings. "Rather, it is regret over yesterday or fear of tomorrow." Regret and fear are twin thieves who would rob us of today. So stop saying, "One of these days." Stop saying, "One of these days, I'm going to do something great for God. One of these days, I'm going to start living a disciplined life. One of these days, I'm going to break out of my cocoon and become a beautiful butterfly." Stop saying, "One of these days," and start saying, "Today." Stop postponing real living until you actually never live at all. Jesus said of his sheep, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Eternal life is not merely life after death. Eternal life is life during life also. An anonymous friar who lived in a Nebraskan monastery caught that truth when he wrote these words at the end of his life. "If I had life to live over again, I'd try to make more mistakes next time. I would relax. I would limber up. I would be sillier than I have been this trip. I know of very few things I would take seriously. I would take more trips. I would be crazier. I would climb more mountains, swim more rivers, and watch more sunsets. I would do more walking and looking. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. I would have more actual troubles and fewer imaginary ones. You see, I'm one of those people who lives life prophylactically and sensibly, hour after hour, day after day. Oh, I've had my moments, and if I had to do it over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, I'd try to have nothing else, just moments, one after another, instead of living so many years ahead each day. I've been one of those people who would never go anywhere without a thermometer, a hot water bottle, a gargle, a raincoat, aspirin, and a parachute. If I had to do it over again, I would start barefoot earlier in the spring and stay that way later in the fall. I would play hooky more. I wouldn't make such good grades except by accident. I would ride on more merry-go-rounds. I'd pick more daisies. Except for the good friar's bad advice about playing hooky and refusing to make good grades, I commend his words to you as a worthy commentary on those words of Scripture. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Let us pray. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.